It's Friday, the 1st of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Robin and Brooke Lopez. Fantasy Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Chewblanca. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Chewblanca and sponsor the podcast for an episode, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and you can do that. There's been stacks of people who have done that this year, so I'm very thankful to everyone, and of course, Chewblanca, big shout out for today's sponsorship. Of course, Moneyball, if you're living in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you're checking out Moneyball for all your NBA DFS action, but rugby league, Australian football, soccer, Premier League soccer, Australian soccer, NFL, baseball, obviously, when those things are up and running, Moneyball has you all covered, so make sure you're checking all of that out. If you are watching this podcast live on YouTube, which you can always do, you can always view the podcast on YouTube or find it via your standard podcast streaming capture, you know, I'm talking about iTunes, Stitcher, all those sort of places. If you're watching live and you want to participate in the show, tweet at me using the Twitter handle redrock_bball, which you can see beneath my face at the moment, and we can interact as the show goes to air live. So do that if you are watching live. And again, I know there's not that many people who do watch live because of the time difference and when I record this. For all you people who are listening in the States, which is the vast majority of people, the podcast is always fresh and ready for you when you wake up. Well, a lot of stuff to talk about as per usual. An interesting Thursday, a busy Friday. So,
let's get to it.
Let's have the final update on the Red Rock Listener Leagues. The Mike Uzzolino division, we have Vivek Patel, who is 5-3 up over Ian Zimmerman. So Vivek, not a strong position, but he's obviously better to be 5-3 up than 5-3 down. So Vivek's got the Uzzolino division in the box seat at the moment. The Christian Leitner division, we've got Peter Spreadbury and Jimmy Jimenez, who are tied at 4-4. So that one's going down to the wire. The Sarunas Marcellonis division, Greg Backman is 6-2 up over Cole Black. So Greg looking good there. And in the Harold Miner division, Benjamin Bade, I'm not sure which one that is, he is 6-2 up over Pedro Garrett. So Benjamin looking like he's about to take home the Harold Miner division. So hopefully, like I said, if you win this league, you get into the Champions League next year. So Vivek, Greg, Benjamin, and Peter or Jimmy, who are tied at the moment, are currently looking the goods. One of the last leagues that we've got is the Red Rock Roto League, and the top three places in that at the moment, Aaron Zimmerman is holding on to the number one spot, just barely behind myself, who I'm clutching at his heels. I had the first place for the last couple of weeks, and he's got it back off of me after the last couple of days. So Aaron, I'm coming for you again. And in third place is Arnold Chung. So we're the top three teams in that league, and trying to get the victory. So Aaron and Arnold, hopefully your players do not play down the stretch and my ones can come through and I can get the victory. That would be very, very much appreciated. Let's get stuck into these games from Thursday. We'll start with the monstrous line of the night. And once again, it's Russell Westbrook. 36 minutes for Russ, 26 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 threes, 4 steals. He was 7 of 7 from the line. He was 8 of 18 from the field, and obviously a lot better than what he was the last game when Serge Ibaka and Kevin Durant were both out. Westbrook is a top 5 player this year. He's been a little bit down recently. Despite the triple-doubles, he's ranked 15th over the last month, but I'm sure that's not really concerning you too much, considering in that time he's averaging 22, 8, and 11 with 1.5 steals, 1.5 threes, half a block. The major drop in his ranking there is he's shooting 42%, whereas on the season he's shooting 45%. But I'm going to venture a guess that if you drafted Westbrook, you were sort of under the impression that you were going to be punting field goal percentage, or it was going to be a big climb back in that category. And the 45% he's given you this season has been a welcome bonus. I'm not sure that you're really overly concerned with his production still being 22, 8, and 11. I'm not sure you're really all that bothered by that, just with that slight 3% drop in field goal percentage. But he's looking to get it back to that 45 level, which the 45 level is obviously very impressive for a guy who, in the last three seasons, hasn't been able to attain that. So a big jump in his field goal percentage for Westbrook this season. And we all know how impressive he is to watch and impressive he is to own on our fantasy teams. The waiver wire line of the night, Austin Rivers of the Los Angeles Clippers played 39 minutes and was ridiculously hot. He was 7 of 9 from three-point land. He had 32 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals on 12 of 19 shooting. He was someone who I was very interested in for DFS yesterday. It obviously worked out brilliantly, and it worked out brilliantly if you streamed him in for a standard league situation as well. So Rivers, look, he's been playing well lately, but not well enough for a 12-team league situation, but 23 minutes a game over the last month, and he's ranked inside the top 200. And again, that's not great, but it means in a 20-team league, he's got to be owned. And even you consider in an 18-team league, if we're going to get more resting from Redick and more resting from Paul down the stretch, you'll get these occasional games. So I'd be looking there. Other formats, it's just that I'm streaming him in if this situation arises. But a huge game from Austin Rivers in that Clippers situation with lots of guys out. The young gun of the night, it gives me great pleasure to announce that the young gun of the night is once again Nikola Mirotic of the Chicago Bulls. He played 38 minutes, 28, 4, and 3 with 5 triples. He had a block. He went 8 of 14 from the field and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. I asked a question on Twitter yesterday, who is the biggest my boy that I have in the league, and various responses, but Mirotic was one of them. Also had a discussion with someone today saying that the reason that he thinks Mirotic doesn't play is because he's soft, and I'm not a massive fan of the term soft, as you've probably heard on this podcast. I think it's not a cop-out, that's the wrong word. I just think it's used stereotypically a lot of the time. I don't think that anyone who's a professional athlete is soft at all. There's almost no... Maybe you could say they're not as... Brave is not the right word either. Maybe they're not as hard as some of their contemporaries, but I don't view Mirotic as soft. Maybe I'm missing something. I really like him. I know a lot of people hate him, and a lot of Bulls fans hate him. He is a tremendous player, and he is going to be a tremendous player, and he is going to drop significantly next season in fantasy drafts. You'll be able to get him. We were discussing it yesterday on Twitter as well as to where we think he'll fall in drafts, and me and Matt Smith were both saying, yeah, we won't let him get outside the top 100. You have to start recognizing what he can do and start using him. And with Taj Gibson out with these ribs problems, which is probably going to cost him more time, they're going to have to give Mirotic more minutes. Now, my trust in Hoiberg doing it is very, very low, but you have to own him at this point because that's two massive games in a row. We saw that massive game he had last week, and then Hoiberg just doing dumb shit and playing him 16 minutes. That shit shouldn't fly. Yeah, Mirotic needs to be out there, and I don't expect 38 minutes very often at all. All he needs is 30. All he needs is 30 to be a top 50-ish sort of player. That's all he needs. And I'm sort of feeling it that he's going to be getting 27, 28 the rest of the way, but I'm not committing to that because Hoiberg's done a lot of wrong things with Mirotic this season. And again, probably over half of you listening to this are going to disagree with me on my take on Mirotic, but I know that he can be a very good player. No, I won't say I know. I think, and I'm pretty confident in my thoughts, that he can be a good player in this league, but he just hasn't been used correctly at all. The whole front court has been used incorrectly. The whole team has been used incorrectly by Hoiberg so far this season. We'll go on to the dart of the night. We'll stay with the Chicago Bulls because Derrick Rose played 12 minutes. He did not attempt a single shot. He had 2 assists, and that is it. That is a very... He had 3 turnovers. So 2 assists, 3 turnovers. A pretty putrid night from Rose. Dealing with that elbow issue, you would have to think that it's going to cost him a game now. You probably don't need to hold on to him. Because the Bulls, 2 games left this week. If he misses one of them and he's going to play subpar then in the other one, then what's the point? I think that you can look to move on from Rose. Now, it's one of those cases. It's not a drop unless there's someone to add. But I don't think that Rose, he shouldn't have been looked at as a must-hold guy anyway, but he definitely can be considered that. If he only lasted the 12 minutes here, it's unlikely that he's going to be able to front up and play in the Bulls game. He might, but I would say that it's unlikely. So Derrick Rose, not a good end to the season, but he has been great in terms of what he's been able to do this year. He's played 63 games, which I don't think many people would have imagined he was able to do it. And it's more games that he's played this season than he has in the previous 3 seasons combined. He's at 32 minutes a night. He's averaging 16.5 points, 4.5 assists. He needs to get his threes and steals back up. He's at 0.7 of each of those, and that's a detriment to his game. And he hasn't been a must-own guy for a lot of the season, but in certain builds, a punt field goal percentage build, maybe a punt steals build, he can work in those scenarios. But he hasn't been great. His overall ranking looks terrible at 131. but that doesn't mean that he's not someone that, that should have been owned in some leagues. Not every league, but in some of them. And in some teams, not necessarily your league, or not necessarily your team. Maybe that's the best way of putting that. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup from Thursday. At point guard, of course, Austin Rivers, 46.3, and the monstrous line of the night himself, Russ Westbrook at 55.1. At shooting guard, Vic Oladipo back in the saddle, 42.9, and Jamal Crawford really taking advantage of those rests as well. He dropped 46.7, and all those guys, Rivers and Crawford especially, were not easy DFS plays, but they were pretty nice ones for tournaments. At small forward, Paulie George, 49, and Elfruk Aminu with a career 47, career night, not career night DFS, but career night in scoring anyway. He had 47.3 FanDuel points here. A little bit of an out-of-the-blue performance. He's been up and down, but the last couple of games he'd been trending in the right direction, but nobody saw this one coming. Power forward Kev Love, 35. Darrell Arthur, 37.3, and he was a guy that I talked about at length yesterday as well as being a guy that you look at in tournaments because his price is super cheap and he can go up and put stupid lines up. But this is just as likely to go and have 5 points and 4 rebounds, which is a concern. And at center, I said, I don't want to play this guy because I don't know if he's going to play. I don't know what situation he's going to be like. But Nick Vucevic went for 33.7 in his return, and that lineup would have netted you 393.4. But in saying that, so many listeners today tweeted at me, messaged me, emailed me, saying that they were winning some significant cash on FanDuel today. So congratulations to all you people, or whatever site they're on DraftKings, wherever. So congratulations to you guys who were able to take in some pretty sizable paychecks. Congratulations for that. All right, it is now time, before we head into these games and look at them in a little bit more detail, for a word from our new sponsor, and that is Loot Crate. Now, if my Australian accent's a little bit hard for you to understand, it is Loot, L-O-O-T, Crate. C-R-A-T-E. If you want a link to the site in the on redrockbasketball.com or hardwoodparoxysm.com, right at the very top of the episode post, you'll see in this episode brought to you by Loot Crate, and it will have a link there. You click on that, and that's how you get to the Red Rock landing page to show them that you came from this podcast. The website is lootcrate.com, which you can see on the screen, /redrock. Pretty straightforward. So don't just go to lootcrate.com. Go to lootcrate.com/redrock. So you can tell the fine folks at Loot Crate that you came from here. All right, so Loot Crate, what is it? It's a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For next month, April, spring is springing. So grab a map, your bag, and some friends. April's theme is Quest. We're forming a party to explore everywhere from far-off kingdoms to worlds, hidden within worlds, and exclusive items from Labyrinth, Harry Potter, History Channel's Vikings, and Uncharted 4. They get your t-shirts, you get loot pins to help equip you on your adventure. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items. It includes licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And that's when the cutoff happens, that's it. The crates are done. They're one-off. And some of those items are legit one of a kind. Like, you won't be able to find them anywhere else. So if that interests you, and if you're a nerd at heart and enjoy these sort of things, and I look at some of this stuff and I go, you know what? Labyrinth, that's not for me. Harry Potter, fan. Big fan of Harry Potter. Yeah, Uncharted 4, lots of people like that. Yeah, Vikings, pretty good show. There's lots of stuff in there. So you might not like everything, but there's some great stuff that they'll send you. And a lot of people will like everything that's there. So head to lootcrate.com/redrock. Enter the coupon code, which again is redrock, and you save $3 on any new subscription. $3 is $3. And especially when you're getting $45 worth of value each month and you're already paying less than $20, get $3 off that. That's a 15% discount, and you're already getting significant value for money, and you don't have to go to that. You're getting stuff sent to you that is going to appeal to you, and you're going to like it. You're going to get exclusive items, and you support the podcast, and you show the Loot Crate people that you came from here by using that website, lootcrate.com/redrock, and entering that coupon code. A win-win for all you guys who like collectible items and exclusive, one-of-a-kind type things. Make sure you are checking out Loot Crate, because they've been kind enough to come on board as a sponsor. And let's go check it out and see if it tickles your fancy. All right, let's take a look now at these games in a little bit of extra detail. I'm going to bring up the box scores for you guys watching on the video, and you can follow along as we go through them. Let's get that sorted right now. There we go, up on the screen. Very easy done. There was six games on Thursday, so we're, of course, going to talk about all of them. The first one was the Chicago Bulls and the Houston Rockets. The Bulls getting the victory, a sneaky victory on the road there. Jim Butler, probably his best game in the last 2 months, maybe. 39 minutes for Jim, 21, 8, and 6. He had a three, he had two steals, he had a block. He went 8 of 13 from the field, so you're very happy about that as a Butler owner. Mirotić we've covered, he was massive. And Pau Gasol had a pretty decent night as well. 12, 10, and 3. He had a steal, he had a block. Not, you know, super filling the box score, but a nice double-double. With Bob Portis got the start in place of Taj Gibson. He was really bad. He had 2 points and two rebounds in 10 minutes. I want Portis to be good. He currently isn't good. I think he will get there, but he currently isn't. So even with Gibson out, Portis is not a must-add guy to me. The Bulls went with a lineup, which I think they should have used more often this season, where they played Doug McDermott out there more as well, and he can play some stretch four. He played 37 minutes here, Dougie. He went 15, 9, and 3. Now, do not expect 3 assists and 9 rebounds from Doug McDermott all that often. So look at that, and if you, for some reason, added him, it's a bonus. He could very well go back to 20 minutes in the next game, so by no means is Doug McDermott a must-add player at all. But interesting to see the way they use things here. Mike Dunleavy played just 9 minutes in this one, and he has been bad as well. He scored 1 point and no other stats. So Rose, Portis, and Dunleavy were absolutely horrific for this team. But they were bailed out by Mirotić, by McDermott, and by some decent performances from those guys. Etuan Moore got some extra run, obviously, with Rose out. He played 22 minutes, 8, 2, and 4. And Aaron Brooks started the second half. He didn't do much. 3 points, 3 assists, and a 3. He's going to have that one explosion? That didn't sound very well. It's one explosion game. Who knows when it's going to come? That makes him more of a DFS tournament option rather than a seasonal, let's add this guy. There are other point guards around who I'd definitely be adding over Aaron Brooks, unless we're talking 16 to 18 team league at the moment. The Rockets, Pat Beverley. You're a point guard, you play the Bulls, it works out pretty well. Beverley had a career high 22 points. He played 37 minutes, 3 triples, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. So not only did he have a career high in points, but he scored well above his average in assists, hit 3 threes, and was 9 of 13 from the field. He will regress when you don't have to play the Bulls. Dwight Howard, only 4 shots, just... it feels like he's finished in Houston. Yeah, they're just not involving him at all. But yeah, the production is still all right. 7 points. Yeah, okay, not good. 13 boards, 1 steal, and 3 blocks on 3 or 4 shooting. You'll take that sort of production from Dwight. Just you wish he would get more touches on offense. Jim Harden, 24, 4, and 8, 2 blocks, 2 threes. Another nice night from Jim. While Trevor Reza went 14, 4, and 1. He had 3 threes and 2 steals, so a decent performance there. While Mick Beasley, 31 off the bench, 20 and 11, 2 assists, and 7 of 18 shooting, 6 of 6 from the line. Just continues to score, continues to get rebounds, and they're really liking him in Houston. I think that you definitely look to add him in 12-team leagues and see sort of what you're going to get. Look, there isn't a chance that not much happens from here on with Beasley, but I think that the chances of him being productive outweighs that. And again, it's not going to be for everyone. It's going to be if I need points, if I need some rebounds, he's not going to do much in the other areas. He's not going to give you much in terms of blocks and steals or things like that, but he's going to be a real scoring option. And that's something that can be useful because there's not many guys that can go out and throw up a 20-point night that are just sitting on a waiver wire. Now, the Rockets have one game left this week. It's on Sunday, so adding him now is probably not the best use of your moves, especially with a thin Saturday coming up. You should be targeting, if your roster's full on Friday, you need to be targeting players who are playing on Saturday to try and get them actually into your active roster. Clint Capella, 8-5 in 18 minutes, 2 steals, no blocks, but just doing sort of what he needs to do, giving defensive numbers, a decent field goal percentage, and nothing too exciting. And Donatas Montiunas not being used very much at all at the moment. 2 points in 12 minutes on 1 of 7 shooting. He has yet to really approach fantasy relevance this year, despite him being the starter. The Brooklyn Nets and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson rested again. It's 2 in a row for him. Brook Lopez rested. Thad Young was back, and Sergei Karasev was out of the rotation. So they're just changing things around, trying things out. And that's sort of to be expected for a team that's going nowhere. But tell you what's not happening is Shane Larkin's not losing this starting point guard job. 13, 5 and 8, 2 threes and 2 steals. He should be added in most formats. Obviously, you're looking at games played, but they do play Friday and Sunday. You might look at him and go, he'd be my worst player. But do you need assists? Do you need steals? Are your big man categories out of reach, or are you well in control? Sit a big man who's better than Larkin if you need his categories. He is getting minutes and he is producing at a significant rate at the moment. Thad Young, 18 and 8 in his return in 28 minutes. And Bojan Bogdanović went 14, 5 and 3 in his 25 minets. Now, with Lopez out, the Nets started Henry Sims. He had 4 and 5, while Tom Robinson played 23 minutes off the bench and went 10 and 11. But overall, they just spread the minutes out. Chris McCullough went 7 and 6 with 2 steals. Markel Brown played 24 and went 6, 5 and 4. Don Sloan had 11 points in 21 minutes. Nothing that's really all that actionable, apart from just make sure you're looking at Shane Larkin. For the Cavs, they played everyone. Didn't have to play them big minutes because the game was a blowout. LeBron, 24, 4 and 11, 2 steals and a block. Kevin Love, 19 and 10, a steal, a block and 4 triples. So a big night for him in just 25 minutes. While Kyrie, not so good. He was 4 of 14 for 10 points. 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. The rest of the minutes, again, just spread out. Tim Mozgov with a decent game, 10 and 7 with 2 blocks in 17, while Channing Frye went 13, 8 and 2 with 3 threes. But Frye really is only going to be an option if Love is limited, like in this one, or if Love sits out, because that's where they'll play Frye in Love's spot. And that's nice to know if we know this stuff in advance, but you could have thought that Love would have got restricted minutes, and yes, he would in this game because it was a blowout, but you didn't necessarily think that Frye would then play 23 of them and Love would be down to 25. They basically just played exclusively power forward. J.R. Smith continues to struggle. 8 points, 2 threes and 2 steals. So still getting it done in some areas. He's obviously not a must-own sort of player, though. The Orlando Magic is the next game and the Indiana Pacers. Evan Fournier with a big red-hot shooting night, actually. 25 points, 3 threes, 1 assist, 2 steals. Yeah, he was at 10 of 14 from the field. That's it's pretty big for Fournier. I wouldn't be expecting that, but he will play decent minutes most of the season. Vic Oladipo, 18, 7 and 7, 2 threes, 2 steals and a block. And Nick Vucevic, in his return, dropped just a casual 24 and 6 in 25 minutes, had a block and was 12 of 15. Obviously, you're wrapped if you had him in IR spot. You're wrapped if you stashed him before this return today or grabbed him off a waiver wire, because he looks to be someone who's going to be a real valuable player down the stretch here. Andrew Nicholson just continues to get minutes. 25 minutes for Nico, 11, 5, and 3 with a block. Now, Ersan Ilyasova was out again, but Nicholson's playing more than Smith, playing more than Dwayne Dedmon, who actually started this one, Dedmon, over Vucevic, which that won't last too much longer. Nicholson is a real a deeper league guy, but a great source of points and someone you can look at, even maybe a 14-team league, if it just fits what you need to do. So have a look at him, because the minutes are, he's back in Skiles' good books for sure. Lord Alfred Payton played 30. He went 10, 7, and 5. While Aaron Gordon struggled. 20 minutes only. 6-4 with a steal and a block. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I don't think he's a must-hold guy. It always depends on your team and your situation and your matchup. But by no means is he, I must hold Aaron Gordon through everything. As I said, Dedmon started for Vucevic, 8-6 in 15 minutes, or Jason Smith went 6-3 in his 8 minutes there. Any relevance they had is cooked now, while Brandon Jennings had 5 assists, a steal and a block in his 18 minutes. Can't rely upon that backup point guard role, because CJ Watson, who'd been playing about 25, went back to 9, and that is Scott Skiles' trademark for the Pacers. Paul George, it's a bad loss, actually, for the Pacers. The Magic won by 20. That's a huge, huge win. Paul George, 27, 8, and 3 with 5 steals and a 3-pointer and 11 of 23 shooting. So that's a big night from Georgie. Monte Ellis, 13, and 3 with a 3 with a block. Not too exciting there. Georgie Hill struggled, 9, 2, and 2 with 2 threes. And Miles Turner, another stinker. He was 3 of 11 from the field, 8 and 8 with a block. The only thing that was is really looking for him to be interesting is the fact that they play the Sixers on Saturday. Aside from that, it'd be drop him in pretty much every format you can consider. But against the Sixers, he's going to have an opportunity to put up some numbers, maybe. Now, the trust in him is pretty low, obviously, because he hasn't done it for about the last three or four games. He's been bad. But that is a really great opportunity on a night where there's not many teams playing. So look at it, and you could even consider dropping a guy like George Hill. But with them playing on Saturday, I'd be more inclined to hold. Lavoie Allen had a big game, 12 and 11 with two steals in 24 minutes. He was barely playing before that, so that's not replicable. Well, Jan Mahimi, another 33 minutes, 6 and 7, two steals and a block. Yeah, 2 of 5 from the free throw line hurts him. But he just continued to get in the minutes, nice rebounding, nice defensive numbers. He's a guy that should be owned in most leagues. Ty Lawson played 20, had 2 points, 4 rebounds and 3 assists. While CJ Miles had 9 points, with all of those came from 3-point attempts. The next game, the Denver Nuggets and the New Orleans Pelicans. Darrell Arthur, 24-9 with 4 triples, an assist and a block on 10 of 15 shooting in only 22 minutes off the bench. Now, Ken Fareed is not going to get big run. Now, Fareed played just 25 here and went 10-12 with 2 steals. So Arthur's going to be able to chuck up these lines occasionally, but it's not reliable enough in standard leagues to go, I'm owning Darrell Arthur. Gaz Harris, 38 minutes, 16 points, 4 assists, 2 steals and a 3. He's not a must-own guy anymore. And I think I mentioned this yesterday, that Will Barton is due for a stinker, and he did it. He was 0 of 8 from the field. He ended up with 6 points, but had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a block. And such is life with Will Barton. He is very, very much up and down. Emmanuel Mudiay only played the 26 here, so that meant DJ Augustine could play 29. Mudiay went 13-2-4 with 3 threes, while Augustine went 9-1-8 and had 2 steals and a 3. And Mike Malone is like this. He's been like this all season, that things will be changed on the fly. Yeah, point guard rotation, big men rotation. It's very hard to predict what he's going to do. Nikola Jokic only got 23 minutes. Triple one, though. 9 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. I'm still holding him, despite the fact that he's barely approaching 30 minutes anymore. And Yusuf Nurkic out again with an illness. Joffrey Lavernier got 11 off the bench, and he doesn't have much fantasy value. Also, congratulations if for some reason you added Jakar Sampson, because he had 4 blocks in 21 minutes. That will never happen again, so do not overreact to Jakar Sampson's shot blockiness. The Pelicans, no Norris Cole, no Ryan Anderson. So, Tone Douglas started, 20 points, 3 threes, 10 assists. Great shooting. Timmy Frazier off the bench, 17, 5 and 8 with 3 threes. Both of those guys are 12-teamers. They made a move and put Luke Babbitt back into the starting lineup and moved my boy Alexi Ajinsa to the bench. Don't understand it, but Babbitt, when he starts, is good value. 36 minutes for Babbitt, 22 and 10, 2 threes, 2 steals and a block. That's a huge performance. Babbitt took 25 shots. 25. The next highest was Jordan Hamilton at 14. This is okay. Luke Babbitt took 25 shots. The next 4 highest shot takers are all players who weren't on this roster at the start of the season. Tone Douglas, Tim Frazier, Jordan Hamilton, and James Ennis. It just shows how bad things are for the Pelicans, but there's usefulness in this fantasy-wise. Jordy Hamilton played 32, 14 and 7, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. These guys are all worth looking at, and it's all going to come down to what you need and who you're dropping and what your schedule looks like, but they don't play again till Sunday. So adding them now, or even holding them now, is not necessarily the best move. You might add them for Sunday, just, you know, it's last day, I've got to get guys in, I've got an open roster spot, they all should be considered, but they're not must-hold guys. If your season's continuing until next week, I like Douglas, I like Frazier, I like Hamilton. Babbitt's a bit up and down to me. And Ajinsa, yeah, he still was good. 8-8 with 2 steals and a block. If I owned him and my league's still going another week, I might be inclined to hold, because that's still productive. I tell you what it is, it's better than Omer Asik's bullshit. 0-4 in 15 minutes. And Kendrick Perkins had 4 points in 8 minutes. Dante Cunningham continues to play big minutes and do nothing. 5-7 with a steal and a block. What a really bad season this has been for the Pelicans. The Clippers and the Thunder, there was no DeAndre Jordan, there was no JJ Redick, there was no Chris Paul, there was obviously no Blake Griffin. So Jamal Crawford had 32 points in 40 minutes. He had 5 threes, 7 assists, 2 steals and a block. That's great, but I don't imagine that anything like this happens again for him this unless there's another rest, but he's not worth holding on to based on this. My boy Cole Aldrich, he gets 2 blocks in 13 minutes. He plays 30, he gets none. Whatever, that's weird. 6 points, 10 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 of 4 shooting. He was still really valuable, and I'm still pretty happy that I streamed him in. He'll be toast after today, but yeah, still pretty happy with that. Wes Johnson had a big game, 14 points in 37 minutes, 2 threes and 2 blocks. Again, he's unlikely to have much of that value moving forward when these guys return. Jeff Green played 35 minutes and scored 19. Didn't do much else. Went four of eight from the line. Only three rebounds, no assists, no steals, and had a block. His value is going to drop significantly when Blake returns. And even when these guys, other guys come back, there's no 12-team league place for Jeff Green. For the Thunder, Kev Durant was back, 31-8-5, two steals and a three, while Serge Ibaka looking better now, 16-9-3 with two threes in just 28 minutes. Definitely not looking great, but looking better. Steve Adams went 13-6 with a steal and a block in 30 minutes. And when I sent out that tweet yesterday or today, what day was it? I can't remember, saying, you know, who do you think the biggest my boy is in the league? And someone tweeted at me, Steven Adams. Oh, that was such a weird choice to me. I like Adams. I don't think he's anywhere close to being one of my boys, but that was just a weird answer. All the other ones were pretty standard. Mirotic, Fournier, Aldrich. Surprised I didn't get a campaign one in there. Most of the other answers were pretty standard, but Steve Adams threw me off. 18 minutes for Enes Kanter, 11-4. Superb percentages as per usual. You just need him to go for 22 minutes or so, but he's worth holding. Andre Robertson played 33 and had 6-5. He had two triples in that as well. And nothing from Dion Waiters, nothing from Kyle Singler. And shockingly enough, Randy Foy played 21 minutes and had 3 points. And unfortunately, no campaign. Foy just needs to get out of this rotation. He has no business playing over Payne, or no business playing really in general. He's no business playing over Anthony Morrow. He's just really bad. The last game of the night, the Boston Celtics and the Portland Trailblazers. Big win for the Blazers. Evan Turner, even with Jay Crowder's return, played 30 minutes, had 14 points, 4 assists, 4 steals and 2 blocks. Now, that 6 combined steals and blocks is not a realistic target for him. But if he's going to play 30 minutes, you're going to still be able to use him for what you used him for before. And that was out of position assists, decent rebounding, okay scoring, decent steals. Don't drop him just yet. Amir Johnson, back to 28 minutes, 12-9, a 3, a steal, 2 blocks. Great, but what if he plays 22 in the next one? No reliability. Same with Jared Sullinger, who went 10-10-5 in 23 minutes. Great, but I'm more happy to hold Sullinger in a 12-team league than Johnson. But Johnson can be owned. Just expect badness. Avery Bradley, 35 minutes, 20-4 with 2 assists and 2 steals. And I tweeted this out not long ago as well, is that apparently Damian Lillard after the game said to Avery Bradley, oh well, let's find the exact quote that he used. Where are we? Okay, it's from the tweet came from Jay King. Damian Lillard on his post-game convo with Avery Bradley. I told him he was the best perimeter defender in the league. Dame, I'm not sure if you heard of a guy that plays in San Antonio. He's out in the perimeter. His name's Kawhi Leonard. I think he's a little bit better than Avery Bradley. Bradley's a great defender. Definitely one of the best perimeter defenders there. Maybe top three, maybe top two. But Kawhi's a different story, Dame. So just a little bit off on that one. Jay Crowder in his return. Straight back into it. They said no minutes restriction, and there wasn't. 34 minutes here. 13-10, 2 threes, 2 steals. Back in business. Activate away. And Marcus Smart went 6-5-4 in his 26 minutes. Isaiah Thomas, not a good shooting night. 6 of 21 from the field, 6 of 9 from the free throw line, and had 22 points with 4 triples and 6 rebounds. And Kelly Olynyk didn't do a huge amount. Let's talk Al-Farouq Aminu, who was massive here. 36 minutes, 28-9, 6 triples, 1 steal, 3 blocks. This will never happen again for Al-Farouq Aminu, so don't go and go, oh, I need to add Al-Farouq Aminu because he might go for 28-9 with 3 blocks and 6 triples again. It's just not going to happen. Yes, he can put up blocks in bunches. He's generally a pretty good rebounder, but he's just been limited in Portland this year. He hasn't been able to fit into the role as probably as well as they would have hoped. He's been serviceable. He's been good. From a fantasy point of view, he's been up and down. He's ranked 117th on the year. But even not including today's, or sort of including today's game, over the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 50th. His threes are well up. He's almost at a steal and a block a game. He's at 7.3 rebounds a game. So he's definitely someone who can be looked at to being owned. It all depends on who you're dropping, but don't expect this sort of big performance. CJ, 17-5-8 with a triple one. Pretty decent night. Dame Lillard, just murdering field goal percentages here. 3 of 16 for 14 points and 4 assists. And Mo Harkless got another start. Only played 22 minutes, but a triple one with 9 and 10 is useful, and it can be used in 12-team leagues. Mace Plumlee, 11-6-4. Not his best night, while Gerald Henderson chimed in 15-5-5, and that's one of the better Gerald Henderson lines that you'll see. Still think he's just a deeper league guy. Noel Vonleh played 9 minutes, had 7 and 3. He did have a triple one. the fact that Noah Vonleh has played, started so many games this year is pretty poor. He is averaging 3.8 points per game this year, 4 rebounds a game, 0.2 threes, 0.3 steals, 0.3 blocks. He's shooting 42 and 73. He's a 25% shooter from three. He's ranked 337th. And the fact that he started so many games is just not ideal. Harkless should have been starting over him well in advance. They should have been just eliminating Vonleh from the rotation. Give his 15 minutes to Leonard, to Davis, to Plumlee, to Harkless, to Aminu. I don't understand what any of the purpose was of Vonleh playing. Now, I had a couple of tweets come in here. From Zubin Petrao. Zubin, do you think the Bulls will eclipse the Pacers for the eighth spot? No, I don't. They're obviously playing a lot better at the moment, but no, I don't think they will. And Our Built Future says, do you think Crowder will be rested tomorrow? No, I don't. It's a possibility, but from what they're saying, that he is fit, firing, and ready to go. And if I had to put money on it, I would say no, that he does play. All right, that is it for those games from Thursday. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to have another quick word from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to be back to look at the games for Friday from a DFS point of view. This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see. Now, there are 10 of them on Friday, so there's some interesting DFS stuff to be looked at. Obviously, there's always going to be a random rest or injury or pulling of starters or all sorts of crazy shenanigans go on in the NBA at this point of the year. So it's always a tough one for DFS and for seasonal leagues, obviously. The first game, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Charlotte Hornets, they just played each other. This one's back in Charlotte, though. The Hornets are favored by 15. The total is 206.5 points. For the Sixers, Jeremy Grant, Nerlens Noel, and Rishon Holmes are all out. And for the Hornets, Jeremy Lin is questionable with that back issue. And Lin misses. It does open up a few things for some Charlotte players, as we saw in the last game. Kemba's at 7,600. That's getting more palatable. He's not really doing much at the moment, averaging just 26 points across his last five. But the last three times he's played the Sixers, he's got 36 points. He only had 27 in the last one against the Sixers. I think that he's not a good cash game play, but I think that Kemba is a pretty decent tournament option here, and he could go for 50. There's a big chance for him here. Ish Smith at 6,800. Look, take it this way. Ish Smith is 800 less than Kemba. I would rather, in a tournament especially, take that punt on Walker. Now, Ish is averaging 40 points across his last three, so he's doing pretty well. He wasn't that great against Charlotte in the last game and hasn't been that great in the last few times he's played them. But he's an okay option at 3,800. Isaiah Cannon at 39. And TJ McConnell, our projections love him. He's at 3,500, his minimum salary. But I'm not... Can he get to 20 points? That's what you need him to do. I'm not overly convinced that he gets that. He's only averaging 16 across his last five games. Now, the shooting guards. If Lin happens to be out, we have to look at Courtney Lee. He had 30 points in the last game with Lin out. His price at 4,300, and that salary has risen. If Lin plays, I don't think we really want to use him, though. Now, Lin is at 4,200. Would you use him? I think that you would consider him, considering his last game he got 26. He's averaging 26 the last three times he plays against the Sixers. And at 4,200, he just needs to really just pass 20. I think that he would be a great option if we know that he's going to play. We need to get confirmation of that, obviously. Source Castillo, Nick Stauskas is at 3,900. He's been playing big minutes, but not really doing much production-wise. So I think we can leave him alone in most cases. The small forwards, Bob Carver's at 6,500. He's playing a lot of minutes. He's putting up decent numbers. A 32 average across his last three is not screaming out that I've got to spend 6,500 to me. I think I would probably pass. Hollis Thompson at 46. Love it at 39. 46, not sure. That probably feels right where it needs to be. And when you're averaging 25 across the last five, he's got no real high ceiling. I think that's probably the best way of putting him. Nick Batum. I do like Batum here. He's at 8,100. He dropped 50 in the last game. Now, that is boosted with if Lin is out. He's averaging 42 across his last three. I think that Batum can put up another big line here. So if you're looking to spend up at small forward, I think that he is definitely someone who can do that. Power forwards. Marvin Williams missed out last time. He only had 22 points, but his salary is down to 5,600. This is making him appealing to me. He's averaging 26 the last three times he's played the Sixers. He has definitely not been on his game. I'm not relying upon him in cash, but I think a tournament option for Marv, he could get hot and he could be a 30-34 point sort of player, and that would pay off pretty well. Cody Zeller was also dominant the last time that we went against the Sixers. He had 33 points in that one, so to think that he can get to 25 again shouldn't feel like it's crazy talk. So he's in play also. With Noel, with Holmes, with Grant all out, Carl Landry is at 4,800. He's had a 36-point game in only 25 minutes within the last five games. You have to consider using him. Now, he wasn't great in the last one, just 15 points, but 20-plus is not crazy. I would probably still spend 200 less and take Cody Zeller. Christian Wood, Elton Brand, they're just not going to play enough minutes. Now, even with all the injuries, Wood hasn't got over 10 minutes in his first two games. At center, Spencer Hawes and Al Jefferson are on the board, so I think we need to forget about that position in this matchup. Brooklyn and the Knicks is up next, and Carmelo Anthony. Now, I've been pretty harsh on Carmelo. If you've been listening to this podcast through last season, I had lots of harsh things to say about Carmelo, but I'm not taking them back because they were what I felt at the time, and you know, I still feel about what he did last year the same way. But the fact that, and again, this is a perfect reason why Kurt Rambis should never be coaching the NBA again. Melo went to the veteran players, Jose Calderon, Robin Lopez, and they all decided together that it was in the team's best interest, and he went to Kurt Rambis and said, mate, we don't need to play 39 minutes a game, 38 minutes a game. Why don't you put some kids out there and let them develop and let them run some things? Melo had to do it. I feel really sorry for you as a Knicks fan that Kurt Rambis is coaching this team, that Phil Jackson is letting Kurt Rambis coach this team, that Phil Jackson is allowing Kurt Rambis to mismanage the minutes on these older players and mismanage the development of the youth. So what does it mean when Melo goes to Kurt and says, don't play us as much, play the young kids? Is Melo going to go from 37 minutes to 25 minutes? I think that's a stretch. I think we've got him projected at about 33. So down to that 30 to 33 range. Yeah, and Calderon might go to 25. Lopez might go to 26, 25, something along those lines. It's shit if you own Melo and if you picked up Calderon, which he can probably be given the arse now. And Robin Lopez, and he might be droppable as well. But it means there's opportunities opening up for players like Jerian Grant. He is the backup point guard on this team. Langston Galloway, they've abandoned using him as a point guard, so he'll play backup in a stretch, and so will Saša Vujačić. But if Calderon's going to get his minutes limited, they're going to go Grant's way. So he could be a guy who swings seasonal leagues as well, or doesn't swing them, but makes an impact in these last few days or last week or so. So that's an interesting situation with the Knicks doing that. Let's talk DFS here, though. We don't know what sort of impact this is going to have. We don't know what Rambis is going to do. You know, Jerian Grant's a minimum salary player. He's got a great matchup against the Nets. Does he play 30 minutes? I think that's probably not going to happen. But 25 is not crazy. And at 3,500, if he gets 20 points, which again is not out of control, he'd be useful. So he's an interesting tournament option. But when the guy opposite him is at 3,900 and you know he's going to get 30 minutes, and I talk Shane Larkin, Very hard to go away from Larkin. He's averaging 26 points across his last five. He's still priced at 3,900. He feels like an absolute lock for cash and for tournaments. But I do like Grant. Calderon, again, we can't trust him now. The minutes are apparently going to be dropped at 4,100. I won't be using him. And Don Sloan is on the back burner in Brooklyn. Let's talk shooting guards now. Is Aaron Aflalo one of those veterans who might lose minutes? He was already losing minutes anyway, and we wouldn't be using him. Langston Galloway, though, he might get increase. He might play some three behind Mallow, some extra minutes there. Probably unlikely, but he could. Maybe he gets some extra run ahead of Vujicic, ahead of Aflalo. He's at minimum salary. He can put up decent numbers. He is a deeper tournament player than what Grant is to me, but I like Langston Galloway here. For the Nets, what are they going to do? Wayne Ellington hadn't been playing. Now he's played 20 in the last two games. Markel Brown played 24 today. Had barely been playing. You can't really use these guys in cash. Absolutely not. But in tournaments even. So look, they could completely give you zero. Sean Kilpatrick's going to play 20 minutes. He's going to shoot. And he's not going to do enough for DFS. So they're not interesting guys to me. Small forward Mello. He's going to take a hit. If this comes to fruition, you know, 38 minutes down to 33 is a drop, but at 8,700 he's been averaging 40 points across the last three. I don't want to use him. It's a brilliant matchup, but I'm just a little bit concerned about what this minute split or reduction actually means. Daniel Charles has tweeted a question. I'll get to your question very, very soon. Bojan Bogdanovic at 4,500. Not sure that he's a great option here. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he wouldn't be an option. He hasn't played the last two games, but I don't think he's worth looking at. And Sergei Karasev out of the rotation. I expect him to be back in, but yeah, no trust there whatsoever. Now, with Kristaps Porzingis, he was supposed to have an MRI on Thursday. We didn't hear any results of it, but we heard that he was having trouble with his shoulder. Can't lift it up. And that's worrisome. Do you drop him in a standard league? It takes some pretty big nuts to do that. Especially with the Knicks having two more games, but the two games they have are Friday and Sunday, so it's not a ridiculous move to drop Porzingis if he's going to miss one of those, which it appears like he will miss Friday. We have heard nothing at this point, but as soon as you hear he's missing Friday, then he's done. As for DFS, this matchup would be brilliant for him, but at 6,900, you need him to play to do it. So let's wait to see if he's out. Derek Williams, Daniel, there you go. Derek Williams at 3,600. He is going to be in play. Now, he played 35 in the last game and dropped 24 points. He can be better than that, but he's at 3,600. It's a great matchup. If there's no Porzingis out, 3,600 for Derek Williams is a cash and a tournament option to me. The other guys they can run out there are Kevin Serafin and Kylo Quinn, but I trust Williams to get more of those minutes if Porzingis happens to be out. Now, if Porzingis is fine, I don't imagine that Porzingis is one of the guys who Rams is going to cut the minutes of because Mallow's told him to. That's a young player that needs to develop. So I can see Williams getting minutes at the three. So for a seasonal league, yes, Williams will play some at the three behind Mallow as well, and that would be interesting for his standard league value, but I don't think that he's going to be an ad or anything like that. Thad Young is at 7,500. He had 25 today. It's a bad matchup against the Knicks, so he's not someone that I'm really all that interested in using. Kev Serafin, minimum salary, could happen, but again, we don't know. We don't know what they're going to do with Rob Lopez, whether they're going to sit him and they're going to put Serafin in as a starter. Probably not going to be interesting to me. Thomas Robinson had 27 today. He had 36 in the other game, but will he play? It's going to need Lopez or Young to rest. He's priced at 4,000. He's obviously not in play just at this point. The centers, Brook Lopez and Robin Lopez, on their birthday, facing off against each other, what a matchup this could be. Let's hope that they're able to do something. Now, the last three times that Brook has played against the Knicks, he's dropped 43 points on average. He has been definitely well down recently, but I think that at 7,600, he's an option at center. The Knicks have restricted centers from putting up numbers, but at that reduced salary, I think that Brook is someone you look at. 5,700 for Rob Lopez. Definitely his production's been down. I'll be steering away from him with this news of him being reduced. Now, Koch is minimum salary. If we hear that they're going to be rolling Koch out as a starter, maybe you'd look. Well, I would definitely look at him if they're going to unfurl him as their starting center. Aside from that, not much to really look at, I don't think. Dallas and Detroit. The Pistons are favored by 6. The total is 205.5 points. We'll get stuck into the point guards here. Darren Williams is considered questionable without an abdominal issue, so that's a bit of an up. At least we've got an update to say that he is questionable. He's at 6,100, and it's not a good matchup, so we wouldn't be using him. Reg Jackson at 5,900, so he's under 6,000, which we haven't seen from him basically all season, but he's not even doing enough to really justify that salary. His highest score in his last five has been just 31. He hasn't really done that well against Dallas when he's played them. It's not an appealing... Look, he's in an appealing spot because Dallas, defense-wise against point guards, isn't great, but his recent form makes you scared, and he's not a cash option, but he does become a tournament punt. JJ Barea is going to be a great option if Williams is out. He is at 5,300. I don't care that the Detroit is great against point guards when you're paying so little for him. He dropped 41 in the last game. He's averaging 31 in his last five. If Williams is out, absolutely using JJ Barea. Ray Felton at 4,900. His production is much, very much up and down, and Barea is the clear option that you want there. Even though obviously you can swing both ways, I think that Barea is the safer play. Shooting guards, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is at 5,600. I like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope here. It is a good matchup for him. He's been just a consistent 25 points over the last five. I think he's due for a big game here, and that's based on nothing but gut feel and the fact that he's playing a team whose defense isn't that great against the against shooting guards. He's a nice tournament punt for me. Wes Matthews at 5,000. He's been solid as well. A nice 28 in the last game. Caldwell Pope's a good defender, and that's a little bit of a concern, but he only needs 25 points, which I do believe that he can do with these extra usage and extra touches he's getting. Devin Harris at 3,600. He only had 5 points in the last game in 25 minutes. That is a horrible return, but he'd been good prior to that. Not an ideal option, especially with the negative matchup to go on it as well. At small forward, Stan Johnson's at 3,600. He's not producing. Justin Anderson, though, at 3,800. We have to look at him. He dropped 24 in the last game. He's averaging 21 across the last three. I don't know if his ceiling's all that high, but if you're just looking to fit a small or cheap small forward in, you have to look at him because we've heard from Riccardo that he's going to give him minutes. Now, whether that continues or not, it's anyone's guess, but who else do they have? Not many other options. Marcus Morris at 5,700, I do like him at that price. He's averaging 29 across the last three, 30 across the last five. 57 is far from exorbitant. He's averaging 35 the last three times he's played against Dallas. I think that he's a fine guy to look at. Power forwards. Dirk struggling big time with his shot recently. He's at 7,500, so the salary has dipped significantly. The Pistons had been a great defensive team against power forwards, but since Ersan Ilyasova's gone, that hasn't been the case, and they're actually a positive in the ease rankings against our power forwards now. 7,500 for Dirk when he's not in great form is not an ideal investment. Toby Harris at 6,300. I think that Toby at 6,300 is a guy that might return you 33 points, and that's sort of about where he is. I'm not sure if his ceiling's all that much higher than that, so he's not a great play. Dwight Powell at 4,100, really disappointing in the last game. Yeah, he's still a punt in a tournament, but that's probably about it. Dave Lee, Anthony Tolliver, Charlie Villanueva. I don't think there's much to really love with those guys. Center, Andre Drummond, 8,100. I do like him a lot here. Now, Carlisle could very well hack, and that is a concern. And that brings Aaron Baines at 3,800 in as a tournament punt option. But if there's no hacking happening, then Drummond in his last three is actually averaging 48 against the Mavericks. So hacking hasn't been too much of a concern in that situation. So I do like Drummond in this one. Zaza getting some extra minutes lately, but I have no trust in it. At 3,600, it is a good matchup, but I have zero trust in Zaza being able to do that. Salah Medjri apparently out of the rotation now, so we're not considering him. Cleveland and Atlanta, there is no spread currently released. The Cavs are planning on playing everyone and not sitting anyone on the second half of back-to-back, so that's good to know. Point guard-wise, we know with the point guards going up against Kyrie can generally do some damage. We saw Shane Larkin today. Jeffy Teague at 6,500 has been really good lately, averaging 35 points across his last three. It is a tasty matchup for him. You think that 30 points should be an absolute minimum for Teague here, so I do like him as that mid-range point guard. Dennis Schroeder is boom or bust. He can go boom in a massive way, so he is a great tournament play, but literally that's about it. And Kyrie at 7,200, zero trust, especially against a defensive unit that the Hawks have become at the moment. Shooting guards, Kyle Korver, we know that he's not going to provide much, but he is a tournament punt. J.R. Smith, he's not even that at the moment at 600 more than Korver. I would rather take Korver if I'm looking to set up a tournament lineup. Tim Hardaway, Iman Shumpert, they're not even really in consideration at this point. Small forward, LeBron, he's back over 10,000. He's at 10,100. 45 is where you sort of feel he can be, but we mentioned it before, the Hawks defensively are pretty good, but do they have anyone that can stop him? I think the answer is going to be no. Kent Bazemore's not going to do it. Now, Thabo can maybe do it. All in all, I'm not just not a fan of using LeBron in this matchup. He could go for a big one, but I'm not really feeling it at 10,100. Kent Bazemore and Thabo, they're not going to be in play either. Power forwards, Paulie Millsap. Not a good matchup against the Cavs. At $8,000, I'll go in a different direction. But the last three times against Cleveland, 43 points average. That's pretty good. A salary drop of 200 works in his favor as well. All things being equal, it doesn't look great, but you could get a big game out of Millsap. It could happen. Kev Love at 6,800. He's averaging 36 across his last five. He's been pretty consistent with that. So he's definitely not someone who's not horrible. And I could understand getting behind Love, but I'm not keen on it. Tristan Thompson is not happening for me at 4,600. And Channing Frye, Chris Humphreys, there's nothing to see there. Centers, Tim Mozgov at minimum salary. Another 21-point performance today. He's doing just a little bit, but not enough to really use. Al Horford at 6,900. The salary's dropped by $200. It's not a good matchup, though, against Cleveland, so I don't think we need to be looking at using him. Toronto and Memphis. The Raptors are favored by only 5.5, which just seems very low. The total here is 197. Let's look at the point guards. Jordan Farmer, he's back. He's on FanDuel. He's at 3,500. He's going to get minutes. He feels like a lock for at least 20 points. I'm fine with using him, despite the fact that the Toronto guys are pretty good at restricting point guard performance. But at 3,500, fine. He's okay to use. Corey Joseph isn't. Kyle Lowry at 8,200 just cannot shoot at all at the moment. Not spending 8,200 on a guy that has yet to surpass 40 points in his last five. This could be the game, but the Grizzlies, despite being bad, they're still a slowish tempo team, and that's going to reduce Lowry's ability to put up points. Ray McCallum, Xavier Munford, we're obviously not going to be using them. DeLon Wright, probably not as well. Shooting guards, DeMar DeRozan is at 8,000, had a nice 46-pointer in the last one. This has been a pretty positive matchup for shooting guards recently against Memphis. He's not a horrible guy to use, but he hadn't really gotten close to 40 before that last game. So probably someone I steer clear of. Normie Powell at 3,900. Another 21 in the last game with Terrence Ross back. I definitely don't trust him much to use. Maybe a tournament, but with Ross back, his upside's a little bit low. But I don't mind Ross here. He's at 3,600, so 300 less than Norm. He had 23 in his first game back. I think that he is a pretty decent punt option because he can go for 24 points and it shouldn't be that, well, if he gets it, that's great value at 3,600. Lance and Tony Allen, they've dropped off significantly and their salaries are too high to really use. Small forwards, Matty Barnes at 6,200, not really reaching that sort of values and I'm not sure this is a great spot to use him. Vince Carter, James Johnson, probably not going to be caring about them either. Power forwards, Luis Scola rested the last game. He's at 3,700. No. Zach Randolph at 7,500. He is averaging 36 across his last three. He had 35 in his first game back. He's averaging 36 across his last five. The only thing that's dissuading me from using Randolph is the fact that the Raptors are great against power forwards. I still think that you can consider using Randolph. It's not a must play. Jermichael Green at 5,900. Terrible matchup. Not a reliable enough role. No thanks. And Pat at 4,000. Yeah, Pat's averaging 24 across the last three. That's okay, but I don't think that he's someone that I'm going to be overly excited about putting into a DFS lineup. At center, Jonas Valanciunas. If he gets 30 minutes, it's a lock, but 30 minutes is far from a lock. It's a great matchup for him at the moment. He could get 30 points, but I just would rather him at 5,500 than I'd be all aboard Jonas. Chris Anderson, the Birdman at minimum salary. He'll probably start, but he's too up and down, and Bismack Biyombo doesn't offer much anymore with Valanciunas back. The next one, the Orlando Magic and the Milwaukee Bucks. There is no spread released for this one. Let's get to the point guards. We don't know if Jared Bayless is going to play. I would be shocked if he did. We've currently got him listed as doubtful with that hyperextended knee. That means that Tyler Ennis is going to see more minutes. Now, he's at 3,700. K Can he do something? Well, he has had a 32-point game in the last five, so he is a very, very sneaky, low-ownership tournament guy if Bayless happens to be out. Lord Alfred at 59. I don't love it. I think it's okay, but this is not a situation where point guards really thrive against Milwaukee. General Grievous Vasquez at minimum salary, no thanks, coming back from his injury. Obviously, Brandon Jennings, CJ Watson, and Shabazz Napier are not guys that should be considered for DFS. Shooting guard, Chrissy Middleton at 7,000. It's still too high for me. He had one good game and his salary went up 100. Didn't even reach value in that game, so he's not someone that I'm going to be considering using. Vic Oladipo's at 8,200. That just feels too high for me against a Bucks team who is pretty good defensively on the perimeter. Rashad Vaughn's the interesting one. Minimum salary, he could find himself, if Bayless is out, getting 30 minutes. He might probably likely get 26 or 27, but he could see decent production. Minimum salary, he'd be a tournament-only option. I would have no trust in him in cash, though. Small forwards, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 9,200. He's averaging 31 across the last five, 24 across his last three. He could really tear them apart here, the Magic, but I'm not interested in spending 9,200 on Giannis. Evan Fournier at 5,400. Yeah, I'm more interested in that. But the upside for him is not high. Hezonja and Inglis, they're not going to be used. Power forwards, Johnny Henson is at 4,400. He's getting the minutes and he's putting up big numbers. He's averaging 33 across his last three. At 4,400, if he gets plus 20-plus minutes, which you expect he would in a good matchup, I really like using Johnny Henson here. Jabari Parker at 63, yeah, decent numbers lately. A 38 in his last game was good, but I'm not all that interested here. Aaron Gordon, no chance. Ersan Ilyasova, Andrew Nicholson. Now, Nicholson at 42 I might look at if Ilyasova's out. He's averaging 25.5 across the last three, which is pretty good for a guy that's as untalented as what Nicholson is. At 4,200, I don't completely hate using it, but we need to hear more on Ilyasova's status. At center, Nick Vucevic. Will he get to 30 minutes? I don't imagine to be quite as productive as he was today, but it is the Bucks front court, which is terrible. So Vucevic could put up a big performance. He's at 8,000 though, and that's pretty expensive. Yes, he got into the perfect DFS lineup today, but that's with 6 games on. With 10 games on, it's unlikely he's going to be at 8,000, a guy who gets 40 plus points. Greggy Monroe, the salary is down to 5,900. Well, it's actually gone up from 5,800. He had a nice 33-pointer in the last game, but I'm not going to be using him despite the nice matchup. Deadman, no. And Plumlee of the Miles variety, he's not going to be used either. The next game is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz. Let's look at the point guards here in this one. We don't know the status of Derek Favors at this point. Let's start with point guards, though. Shelvin Mack, 6,000. He had a big game in the last one, but he had been trending down. Don't want to spend up 6,000 on the Maxter. Rick Rubio, 7,100. This is the matchup you don't want to use Rubio, despite how well he's been playing. When you go against the Jazz, it generally doesn't work out all that well for you, so he's not an option. Well, he's an option, but he's not one that I'm keen on. Hal Neto, Tyus Jones, and Trey Burke, no thank you. Zach LaVine at 5,600. Is averaging 18 points across his last five, and when you take on the Jazz, that is not the remedy to fixing it. No thanks. Rod Hood at 5,300. I don't mind using Rod here. I'd like to get my hands all over Rod in some situations. He is two big games in a row. He's averaging 30 points across the last three at 5,300. He can be used. He's not a must own, but I think that he's a pretty decent tournament option at the shooting guard spot. Speaking of, I don't even know why I said speaking of. It was a horrible segue. Let's get straight into the small forwards. Gordie Haywood is at 6,900. It's not expensive. I think that he's fine. I think he could have a big game here against the Timberwolves. Wigo at 6,600, who's only 300 less than Haywood. If you used Wiggins over Haywood, I think that you're doing DFS wrong. Joe Ingles, Shabazz Muhammad, Nemanja Bjelica, Tayshaun Prince, and Damian Rudej. I don't think that they're going to move the needle all that much. The power forwards. Derek Favors at 7,100. I would really like using him, but we don't know if he's going to play. He's dealing with this knee issue. He's averaging 36 the last three times he played the Timberwolves. He's probably the best player on the Jazz. I guess Haywood would have something to say about that. Can't use him at this point. Gorgui Dieng at 6,200. Been really down lately, averaging just 19 across the last three. The salary's dropped 200, but it's not enough, especially against this front court. And if Favors is out, I'm all aboard Trey Lyles, who is at 3,800. He's almost a fantasy point per minute over his last five. he could have a 26, 28 point game in 3,800, which would be great. Trevor Bookham would also be worth considering, but I think that Lyles is the one that you want to go for at centre. Carl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, 8,800 for Cat. He has been a little bit off lately, averaging just 41 across his last five, 38 across the last three, and it's not an ideal matchup against Gobert. In fact, I'd probably rather take Gobert and save the 2,800. Now, Gobert is averaging 34 across his last three, and at 6,000, I'm all for that. So I think that I'd rather take Gobert over Towns with that salary differential. Miami and the Kings is next up. The Heat are favored by 7.5 points. The total is 212.5. There's obviously some interesting news with the Kings later on, which we'll get to. We'll start with the point guards. Goran Dragic is at 6,800, a big, big bump for him playing against the Kings. 6,800, though, is still pretty expensive. I don't really want to use him. Rajon Rondo at 7,700. Given who's not going to be playing, DeMarcus Cousins, I think that Rondo is a guy to look at, but the Heat has been just so destructive against point guards that it turns me off. Darren Collison at 5,800. Again, just not a good matchup, and his salary has risen by $200. At shooting guard, Joshy Richardson, he's at 4,900. It's too expensive for me. I tell you who I love is Dwayne Wade. He's at 7,700. It is a perfect matchup. He's already averaging 40 points across his last three. You would expect 35 plus from Wade here. This should be a pretty decent night. Marco Bellinelli is unlikely to play, so Seth Curry, who's at 3,700, he becomes a tournament option and a tournament punt play. That's really all he is. He's no cash reliability. Ben McLemore, James Anderson are not reliable at all. Small forwards, Justice Winslow at 4,000. He's not getting it done. Joe Johnson at 4,900. The salary coming down to that is nice, but he's not getting it done. Rudy Gay is clearly not getting it done. He's at 6,000. That is a waste of $6,000. Despite the last three times he's played the Heat when he's averaging 39 points, he's just not feeling it. And Omri Caspi at 4,700. That's just too expensive given his recent... His production's been all right, but not at 4,700. Willie Cauley-Stein, you'd think you'd love him with DeMarcus Cousins out, but he's at 4,900. He's got an average of 27 across his last three. I think that he is a great option, and I think he's... But there's some other nice cheap power forwards out there as well, which we'll talk about soon. But I do like Cauley-Stein here. Luol Deng at 6,300. He's playing pretty well at the moment. He's got a really tasty matchup. I think 6,300 for Luol Deng feels just a bit high, though. I think it's sort of on his peak of value. Amari Stoudemire, Quincy Acey, Josh McRoberts, they're not worth looking at. Now the centres. Boogie is out. He is suspended. He's also come out and said that he's not playing on Saturday. Now that came from Boogie. I didn't hear any official announcement from the Kings, but it's not looking good at this point. I would think in it back to a standard league situation, you might have to consider dropping Boogie if you can. If he's not playing again this week, what's the point of holding him? I would want to just, again, with Friday, you've probably got a full roster. So dropping him now is probably not necessary. Let's wait and see if you're in that case where you've got a full roster. Wait and see if any more news comes out, any official announcements come out from the Kings, whether he's playing Saturday, and then drop someone and add him for, and or drop him and add them for Saturday. But probably not an immense rush to do it just today, because as I said, you might or you most likely have a full roster. You might not, and in that case, then you can consider dropping Boogie with the chances of him playing against again this week being pretty low. As for people whose leagues continue on, yeah, you're not going to get him this week. But I think you have to hold on to him for next week. Now, there's a chance that he doesn't play a lot of these games moving forward, and that's a definite concern. But I wouldn't be dropping him unless I'm just really in a fight for the death this week. I reckon you can find someone else to drop instead of Boogie. But it's on the cards. If he's not playing again, it's on the cards. Back to DFS. Kostas Koufos is at 3,900. He last time he started for Boogie, he had 3,900, almost a no-brainer. Hassan Whiteside at 8,700, revenge game against the Kings, no Boogie to guard him. What's Koufos going to be able to do? He's averaging 47 across his last three. 8,700 is a big whack, but this could be he could crack 50 here, Whiteside. So he's in a pretty nice spot as well. Washington and Phoenix. Markieff Morris returns to Phoenix. What sort of reception do you reckon you'll get? I reckon it'll be pretty toasty. Point guards. Johnny Wall at 9,600. The Wizards need a win. Two bad losses against the Kings and the Warriors. They need a win. He's at 9,600. The Suns are terrible. This is 50 written all over it for Johnny Wall. Brandon Knight at 6,900, just putting up decent numbers, but not enough at 6,900 to really get me excited, especially against Wall. And Ron Price, Ramon Sessions, not great. Shooting guards, Brad Beal, I like him here a lot as well. 5,900 is not all that expensive. Now, it has risen 200, which makes me a little bit cautious, but the ease of playing the Suns is great. He could easily go for 30 here, but I'm not totally in love with it. Devin Booker at 7,000, I'm not in love with that at 7,000 at all. He's averaging just 31 across the last three. Not keen. Allen Anderson, Garrett Temple, Marcus Thornton, John Jenkins, Jarrell Eddie, Archie Goodwin, they'll probably combine for 5 fantasy points. Small forwards, Otto Porter at 5,500. Pretty nice matchup for him. 5,500, the salary hasn't changed, but he's only averaging 25 across his last three. Not too spectacular, obviously. He's doing stuff, but it's not translating into big DFS points. So he's probably a stay away. PJ Tucker at 5,100. That salary has risen by 400, but he is averaging 28 across the last five, 31 across his last three. He can be considered, but he's a tournament option to me. He's not a cash game play. Markeith. This could go one of two ways for Markeith. Shit show or a massive game. He's at 4,900. I think that he's going to be able to put up some pretty nice numbers in an easy matchup. 25 points, it doesn't sound crazy. I really like Markeith here. Alex Len at 6,500, some two big games in a row for Len. 6,500 for him, though, it just feels just a bit expensive. I don't think I want to use it. Mirza Tlevich was sick in the last game. He's at 46. I don't really think I'd be using him anyway. Nene at 39. No. Jared Dudley, John Lua. John Lua's back to basically a zero role. At center, Marcin Gortat at 64. This is a homecoming for him as well, not as acrimonious leaving as what Markeith was. 6,400 for Marcin. It's a nice matchup. He hasn't been getting the big minutes recently, and I don't imagine he needs to get the big ones here, so he probably won't be a great option, whereas Tyson Chandler's at 4,500. I don't think he had 34 in the last game, but I'm not confident in him getting enough minutes to be worthwhile. The last game of the night, the Celtics and the Warriors. This is tough for the Celtics. Back-to-back into Golden State. They could get smashed. Isaiah Thomas is at 7,800. I think that he becomes a decent play in a matchup against Curry where point guards can put up good numbers. He is in play. Steph at 10,400. Blowout factor is a real issue here, but you should be thinking that you can get 50 out of Steph. I'm not overly keen on using him. He's more of a tournament than a cash option. Marcus Smart and Sean Livingston, they're not going to have much of an impact DFS-wise. Shooting guards, Avery Bradley and Klay Thompson. Klay is at 7,300. He's been a bit underwhelming in these last couple, but this is it's not an easy matchup, but the Celtics actually, for fantasy points, for shooting guards, have been allowing above average recently, so that's something to keep in mind. Klay with a couple of quiet games, maybe this is the game that he jumps back. His salary's dropped by 300, so that's enticing. I think he's a really good tournament play. Avery Bradley's at 5,600. It just feels too high. Barbosa, Rush, and Clark are not guys that I'm keen on. Small forwards. I'm interested in Harry Barnes here. There aren't many cheap small forwards around. Barnes' salary has risen by 400. It is a good matchup here against the Celtics. He had 30 points in the last game. At 4,600, he only needs to get to 25 to really give you value, and I think that he can do it here. I don't trust him at all, but I think that he's an okay play here. There's not many cheap small forwards around. Jay Crowder at 5,800. First game back, 31. Yeah, bang, that's a great start. Does he get to 30 again? I think that he's got a decent chance of it, but I'm definitely not relying upon him to do it. And Evan Turner at 4,900, I'm not going to be relying upon him either. The power forwards, Draymond at 8,600. It's great when you can play the Celtics front court. There's big stats to be had. He's averaging 44 across his last three. I think that he's in a pretty decent spot here to get to 45 or even close to 50. One of the best power forwards, I think, on the board. Amir Johnson at 43, so up and down, tournament only. Jared Sullinger, tournament only. And Jonas Jerebko, we're not going to be considering. Maurice Spates just doesn't get enough minutes. At center, Bogut, no. Olynyk, love him. But then the last time he played this team, he put up 48 points the last time he played them. I don't imagine that happens again, but there's always an opportunity for him to do that. He's got the ability to do it. So he becomes a deep tournament punt center. But with Kostas Koufos on the board as a cheap center, it's very hard to go past Koufos, but he would be a contrarian play. Hey, I've got Koufos as my cheap center. Maybe I put Olynyk in and maybe he blows up. Most likely he doesn't, but we know he has that ability and he has done it against this team before. That's all the games. Let's now look at the DFS plays of the day. Point guard Shane Larkin, 39. Jeff Teague, 65. And John Wall, 96. At shooting guard Terrence Ross, 36. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 56. And Dwayne Wade, 77. Small forwards Harry Barnes, 46. Marcus Morris, 57. And Nick Batum, 81. Power forwards John Henson, 44. Marvin Williams, 5,600. And Draymond, 86. And the centers Kosta Kufos, 39. Rudy Gobert, 6,000. And Hassan Whiteside, 8,700. And if you are just skipping to the end of a podcast to look at this, don't just look at this list and go, I'm playing all these guys. Have a listen to, maybe you don't have the time for it. This is a good snapshot, but I do give my explanations of what can happen and why this is good and what sort of situation you'd want to use these guys. So don't just look at all this just on face value alone. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball and Basketball Monsters at @BaskMonster. Of course, go to check out our new sponsor, Loot Crate, which is Loot Crate. I'll put it up on the screen for you if you're watching. LootCrate.com/RedRock and use that coupon code RedRock for $3 off. It is a subscription box service and I think you will enjoy it. And make sure you use that website to show them that you're getting traffic or show them that you're coming from this podcast or from this show and you are getting, you're checking them out and you're seeing what they're interested in. So always use that website if you're going to be going and checking out Loot Crate. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.